The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello there, friends. Head on over to jointhenerdclan.com to get all kinds of great bonus material and extras from Blake and I, whether it's Blake's book club, which he's covering right now, Voyager, in the Outlander book series, or our Keep Calm and Crown On. It's actually on this week. Those of you who have Netflix, The Crown Season 4 is on, and we are binging it and binge podcasting it, or even the After Doc bonus episodes, which we will be doing tonight after this live show. There's a ton that you don't want to miss out on, and it's all happening at the Nerd Clan. So go to jointhenerdclan.com and become part of the best community on the interwebs.
And he said some things that I just can't stop thinking about.
You know, about what it was like as a black kid growing up in our family
with white parents, you know, and white siblings, and
how it must have felt for him and how unseen he felt.
Unseen? Kate, Mom and Dad were obsessed with Randall. All we tried to do was get 5 minutes a day with them when they weren't paying attention to Randall.
Kev, we don't even talk to him about this stuff, though. You know? And we don't talk to him about what it was like or what it's still like
for him.
Okay. Look, I'm not an idiot, okay? I understand it probably wasn't a walk in the park to be the only black kid in that fancy private school he went to, but let's not sit here and pretend that Mom and Dad did anything wrong, okay?
I'm just saying, we all have stuff
from our past that we're still dealing with, okay? And that's Randall, you, and me.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
Honestly, I'm just tired. It's been a really long day.
Honestly.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and honestly, I hate this podcast.
Honestly.
You're welcome, world.
Oh my goodness.
You're welcome gracious. For that. You know, hey, in the spirit of the episode.
In the spirit of honestly.
In the spirit of honestly, when it totally means you're just lying straight up. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. Wow, what an episode. Something that you know, there's a lot of struggle in this episode, whether it is actually being able to communicate properly or finding ways to overcome parental issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, as we are always want to do on this podcast, is talk about stories. Something that how we relate to this episode of This Is Us. And the way that I'll say that I related to this episode, because it is my turn and I will take it, is, of course, what Jack and Rebecca went through.
Oh,
the cry it out method.
Oh, let me take a seat.
Oh,
hold on,
man. Let me take a drink. Anybody got any bourbon in
I've
the world?
I've got La Croix.
You know, our son was very, very, very colicky. The doctor said it was one of the worst cases he's seen. Our doctor was old. I mean, not Dr. K old, but old. And he's seen a lot of kids.
He's kind of Dr. K
old. it's true. I wish I could have just spent a night on his couch, just like Jack did at one point. But the doctor was pretty helpful and, you know, tried the best that he could. And it was hard, man. And a lot of people were just saying that, hey, that's just how kids are. They cry, you know, like, and that's just how things go.
That was the worst.
And nobody, everybody thought we were just
First time parents,
and we weren't paying attention, and it's not bad, and it was not that. It was bad. It was bad.
Anyway, but in addition to the colic,
our son, had a hard time, like most kids, or a lot of kids, having a hard time falling asleep.
Yeah.
And I remember in our little apartment in Providence, 2 feet away with him in the next room over, Mary and I decided,
yeah,
okay,
we like held hands, we just did. Like we Jack and Rebecca, hands. Like we've got it.
And we said, okay, this is it, we're going to do it. And this was after many, many of, I wouldn't say fights, but strong conversations.
Tired, exhausted, emotion-filled conversations.
Yeah, it was, oh man, it was tough. And that first night was brutal.
Yeah. For anyone who is going through Cry It Out or sleep training,
I feel for you.
What would be like your tip if you could, Blake? Normally we would say get mom out of the house.
Yeah, definitely get mom out of the house.
You can't because it's a pandemic.
can't go out. You can't get out.
Yeah.
That's a good Outlander cast reference for all you people, for Mary and Blake Hall of Fame moment. My first piece of advice is if you're going to have the cry it out method is if you have neighbors that live above you or next to you, get them a bottle of whiskey and some earplugs.
And apologize.
And apologize in advance. And then for you, try your best. I mean, it sucks. It sucks hard. There's no way around it, man. Yeah. And I remember Mary looking at me being like, what are we doing? It was the same exact thing that happened on the show that happened to us. And Mary looking at me like she wanted to just choke the life out of me for saying, no, we're not doing this. We're letting him cry it out. And our kid had and still has pipes. And it was rough. It was rough. I will never forget that. And it was like 3-4 hours of just brutal.
Like if movie theaters are open, if you are looking for advice and movie theaters are open in your area, maybe go see a movie. Go see like an 8 or 9 o'clock movie.
Yes.
And let your partner, who the baby is not attached to, put the baby down.
Yeah.
Because my children, we still to this day say it. Like my kids can smell me.
That's
if
true.
I'm out of the house, they are completely fine. They give no problems for daddy for going to bed. And then if I tiptoe in and they've already been asleep, no joke, they like smell me or something. And they just start screaming or they wake up, mom, can you tuck me in? And I'm like, it's midnight. What do you mean tuck you in? You went to bed 4 hours ago. But good story, Blake.
Yeah, no, it was rough. And but we got through it. And the next day it was only an hour. And then the next day after that, it was like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he actually really has been pretty good with his sleeping.
Like, yes.
He's gone to bed on his own. We did the whole, hold them thing. We did the whole no cry.
I did the thing
cry.
That Rebecca did, like hold and then slide and feel like amazing.
It was all garbage.
No, it's not all garbage.
It is.
It's just that everybody needs to find what works for them.
That's the kind parent response. I will give that to you.
Thank you.
Fine.
All right, let's get into the show. Oh, before we do, actually, we wanted to remind you that you can find Blake and I in all of our different social media outlets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We also have a slew of other podcasts that we do, the Potterverse, we do Outlander. Currently, we are doing a binge episode podcast of The Crown. It's called Keep Calm and Crown On, and it's only available at jointhenerdclan.com. That's for our patrons who, out of the goodness of their hearts, support all of the endeavors that Blake and I do. So thank you once again. You can check that out at jointhenerdclan.com or all of our other podcasts at maryandblake.com. All right, now let's get into the show.
You know, it's okay, Mary. We've done 4 podcasts today and we've watched a lot of TV over the past
Seriously.
2 days. Between podcasting and TV watching, we have actually spent 18 hours podcasting and watching television. over the past like couple of days.
Like me.
I know.
Oh, goodness gracious. This is a lot. It's a lot of screen time.
It is a lot of screen time. It's more than we're used to. But you know what? I'm enjoying it. I really love it. And if you are a fan of The Crown and you want to hear Mary and I opine about it and all things Betty and all things Diana and Charles and all that other stuff, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Yes. Check it out. We're having a lot of fun doing The Crown, especially doing it live time. We're watching it and then going straight into podcasting. Yes. There's no break, no nothing. It's actually really cool. All right. The title.
Whoa. Look at your brain.
It's been a long couple of days, ladies and gents. The title for this episode is Honestly, which, as we heard at the beginning of our podcast episode, what that is in reference to. Mm-hmm. And when somebody says honestly, that means they're lying. The director was Ken Olin, who has directed a kabillion, as always, mm-hmm. episodes of This Is Us. And the writer was Elon Mastai. Now, I don't remember seeing this name before, but I will say they've written the episode Sorry, which was last season. I don't remember seeing this name before, but that's the name that's there.
Yeah.
I'll take it. So what is your lemonade rating for this episode?
I would give this episode a 4.7, maybe 4.8. Yeah, I'd say 4.8.
Really?
Yeah.
That's different from what what the document says here, Marvin.
I didn't update the document. Oh. I didn't write in it. You just copied it from last episode.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, I'll say 4.8.
Okay, cool. All right. That's an aggressive rating from our conversations that we had earlier today.
Okay.
In our little pre-show meeting, I think you were less bullish on this. You were less in on this episode than what you're letting in on right now.
I will get into that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Mine is a 4.4. It is slightly better, I think, than the last episode. Of course, I love Jack and Rebecca. I love seeing them as parents. I love them dealing. I love Bearded Jack. Bearded Jack is the best Jack.
I concur.
I love Beard Jack. But I love how this is...
Baby Dad Jack.
Yeah. I love how this... Beard Jack reminds me to be a good husband and a good dad.
Sure does.
There was a moment today when I got home. I was doing, I think I got us lunch or something in the middle of all the podcasting.
Yeah.
And Mary was down here in the studio doing work. And she comes upstairs after doing some of the work.
Yep.
And I come home. I got food in my hands. I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to get the thing done. We're going to watch some more. We're going to podcast more. She goes, do you know where the scissors are? And I said, no, I don't. But I know that there's some down in the studio. Why don't you go grab them? She goes, yeah. Can you go grab them for me?
I just came up.
And I was like, oh, Marvin, I got food in my hands. What are you talking about? You just came up. Get the scissors.
Well, you knew where they were downstairs.
And I swear on everything holy in this world, I thought about Bearded Jack.
Good.
And I said,
Bearded Jack would get the
fracking scissors.
You would.
So...
I'll
get the damn scissors. Anyway, so yeah, I give this a 4.4. Again, like last episode, it's chicken, but it's chicken with like a little bit of extra sauce.
How about like Thai chicken satay sticks?
Yes. See, a slight upgrade on normal chicken.
Chicken on a stick with some yummy sauce.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
So that's what this is: chicken on a stick with some yummy sauce.
I dig it.
And
okay.
And I just like how this is. Trying to dissect parenting and what do you have to do to be a good parent? What do you have to do to take care of your children? How do you take care of them and the different philosophies behind that? And it's not taking a stance one way or the other. It's neither right nor wrong. Jack is not right. He's not wrong either. And same thing goes for Rebecca. She's not right, but she's not wrong in the same instance. Mm. And I like what the show is doing that. It's remaining a little agnostic about that. It's just letting you decide what your parenting skill
is. Which is the proper response.
I would agree. Mary, you're GBG. You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
Okay, so my good is the time that we got to see Kevin and Randall doing the studying together. I mean, we're just really missing out on these tender Kevin Randall moments. We had so much, and now it's just been awkward and sad and hard, and I just really appreciate having those moments with the color-coded, and then to see Kevin later on in life, yeah. You know, as he's prepping for those lines using the color-coded, I just loved it. My bad is something that I am very, very confused about.
What's that?
Kate's test. Teenage Kate's test.
Okay.
Which is a positive pregnancy test at the end of the episode.
Yes.
But when she's pulling out the box, it's an ovulation test.
Is it really?
Yes.
Stop it.
Swear to God. So either, I mean, we need to have a moment. We need to have a moment because this episode came together very last minute. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Literally, like, editing was happening last minute, and we know that the cast and crew and everybody has been pulling this all together, and they have done a phenomenal job. Pandemic or not, this would have been phenomenal so far. But so I don't know if the ovulation box was an accident in the props department.
Some guy named Joe. Hey, Joe, yeah, go get us a pregnancy test.
Yeah.
Yeah, CVS is down the road.
Yep.
And he's like, okay, here you go, guys.
Exactly. Is that what happened? Or are we being led to believe that at one point, Kate had an ovulation test and was trying to get pregnant?
I feel like that is some pretty heavy...
I mean, it's This Is Us.
Yeah, but the way that this is, at least it appears, the logical thing is that she's pregnant. So I'm going to say
she is pregnant. Like it's what she's holding is she's not holding an ovulation test.
Yeah,
she's holding a pregnancy test that says she is pregnant. The box that she gets out of the little bag is an ovulation test.
Right. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying is that like either these were two different things, and she had an ovulation test and was on purpose either trying to get pregnant or trying to avoid to get pregnant. Like maybe trying to have sex when she's not ovulating. And then there was a pregnancy test, or it was just a little snafu. But the way that it was edited, it made me feel like that was supposed to still be the pregnancy box, the pregnancy test box that she goes in, gets a test, goes, pees on the stick. It's positive. So it just didn't make sense to me. And then right?
Interesting.
I know.
Interesting.
I mean, it can work, and now we're just going to wait till 2021 to find out.
It's some pretty heavy, like, you got to take some jumps.
Because, like, even if...
It feels like a mistake. It feels exactly. Like the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones. That's what
but
it feels
like. But here's what's cool. I mean, it is kind of like the Starbucks cup. But on the flip side, if the writers now are like, oh, shoot, man, that was an ovulation test. Okay, how are we going to weave that in? Because even if she had an ovulation test in her room, it's not like that's a thing to hide a pregnancy test in that's appropriate.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be like, oh, mom, I'm not having sex. What's this? Don't worry, mom. It's just an ovulation test, not a pregnancy test. Yeah, right. Like, it still equals that you're having sex.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll just see where that goes. And then my great... As silly as it sounds, I had so much fun watching Randall.
Oh, yeah.
Taking off his shirt, knowing that he was being videoed. Blake and I both were like screaming in awkwardness, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I feel like anyone else watching the show who's loved these characters that long felt that way as well, that you were squirming with uncomfortable feelings for Randall as well. And I just loved that.
Right, right. Before I get into my GBG, for those of you who are watching the live stream right now, I have to say that Mary and I, we're matching. We're very David and Moira shit in Schitt's Creek at the moment.
Yes.
And that it was completely unintentional.
Like, this is for Rachel who's watching, but she needs something completely flashy. Okay.
And you need, don't talk like that.
Okay.
Got her sunglasses on.
Yes. I need like a little bag or something.
Oh, that was good. That was really good, Mary.
Thank you.
All right. So my good Randall. Poor Randall. I just
poor
cringed.
Randall?
I cringed in my soul.
Oh, I know.
Watching him start taking off his shirt and just knowing what was going to happen.
I mean, He's got the bod for it.
Oh, yeah. No, if there's any man in the world that's capable of doing what he's doing.
Sterling K. Brown.
It's Sterling K.
They were like, we need to make use of this bod.
Yeah, I know.
And we don't want you to be having, like, dad, mom, sex scenes. So...
So you do you.
Yeah.
You go out there, you magic mic it all you want.
Go for it.
But the funny thing is that goodness.
No, God, please, no.
No, that's right, Michael. No. I'm done. I'm done with Channing Tatum. I find it, it's not out of this world where that would happen. It's you. We've seen it. Some guys have lost their jobs over some of the things that they've done.
Yes, like the ones that have like been business on top, like boxers below,
or the guy
that was
the guy who was
having a good time with himself.
Yeah, just you know, hey, you know, it. Hey, some people that's what they want to do, and that's cool.
Hey, no, but not during the meeting,
not during a Zoom. the bad for me. And this, I think, is going to come as a shock. The bad is Randall's acceptance of Malik's plea to him, being like, I got up at 4:30.
It fell out of character in the current state, right?
I feel like Randall, and I know I would have said, okay, you got up at 4:30. So what? Get up earlier. You want this? You want to become something? You want this for your daughter? You have big dreams? Get up earlier. Now you know. Now you know what it's going to take. I don't care that you got up at 4:30, that you got to do milk and you got to do we're all adults.
But he's not an adult. He's still got a kid.
But he's got a kid.
And but now he's still a child.
But this forces him to become an adult.
So we're probably going to have to deal with conversations like this in about 10 years and how we're going to handle things. When they're still children.
When they're children, they're children. But he's got a daughter and he's got these dreams. And I understand that he's a kid. But in my opinion, and I know this is what I've been told, so what? Get up earlier.
And how well did that work out?
That's true. I'm just saying I felt like that would have I would have handled it differently, number one. And then number two, I feel like Randall would have handled that differently. Because I feel like Randall knows what it takes and has done what it has taken since being in middle school or whatever. Like that's what he's done. And I feel like that his response...
I would disagree.
Okay, fair enough. But the great for me, two things. One is I called that Randall's job was going to alert his mother about his presence. And I called that somehow him being a councilman was going to further that story. So I called that number one. That's my tie. That's the first one. But the real big one.
I like that you like shout yourself out for your
I have to.
Achievements.
Hey, listen, the only person who's going to shout me out is me.
Okay? I shout you out.
I'm just saying the only person who's going to toot my horn is me. So I'm going to toot the horn. I'm going to call that. I'm going to be proud of it. Give me the W.
Go for it, baby.
And the next one is...
You want a little ding? You want a little ding for your win?
You know what? I'm not going to take a ding. I'm taking outstanding.
I mean, this honestly does not deserve an outstanding. Randall is in two places. It's a worldwide pandemic. Randall's either at home or at work. Okay? How's his mom going to find out about him? One of those two places, baby. And it ain't going to be home.
And really, what I will say is that the outstanding that I did just play is really
for another thing that you did,
for another thing that somebody else did. All the writers and the editors and all the people that are involved in post, I know, we both know for a fact that we are listened to in the writer's room, we are listened to in the editing
guys.
Bays, we've had communications with them.
We're your fans.
We are such big fans, and the fact that people that are involved with the show listen to us is
humbling
and beyond my comprehension. I just can't believe it. And so thank you, number one. And number two, you guys,
folks.
You ladies and gents, you...
Folks is folks, the better
term. Whatevs, okay? Whatevs.
It's not whatevs. It's 2020. Get it straight.
You folks have nailed it. And the fact that Dan Fogelman called you out on Twitter saying that the post wasn't completed until the previous day on Monday of this episode airing. And then it has been like that every single episode you know, all the actors and the writers and the director, and they all get credit for what they have done, and everybody should. But we all have to take a step back and recognize how amazing all of these people are, the people that you don't know, the people that just pop up real quick in those credits and you don't really pay attention to. All these people made that happen and made all of these things happen.
They make me – editors to me are like the chefs. You know, you're going to have amazing pieces of ingredients that go into a meal that you make.
Sure.
You know, whether it's this fine meat that you got from a special meat vendor or the vegetables, like all that's the actors and the cast and everything. And they make this amazing episode, this great, I don't know, stew.
Yep.
But it's the editors that are the chefs and that cut it up and make sure that there's just the right amount of everything and tweak it and tweak it and tweak it and tweak it and tweak it, tweak it until it's just right. And for them to be tweaking it on such a tight time frame, really, really, they're magicians.
Yeah, everybody that's involved with post, the color correctors, all of it, it's just like it blows my doors off. So the fact that you guys were working on this until the day before.
Outstanding to them.
Outstanding. It's just outstanding. All right, ready for the big three feedback?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
All right, this one comes from Eva Lee. She says, great episode five, Lemonades. I loved the Randall dance. So many emotions between the big three. They need to get together and express what they've been feeling all of these years. What a surprise. Sorry, hold on. I just lost my spot there. What a surprise with Kate. Oh my God. I think she went through some real traumatizing stuff as a teen, but this one is huge. I think we'll see what Randall meet maybe his stepdad. We'll see what happens. The next one comes from Jody Bice. What do you got, Marvin?
I don't know because you haven't scrolled it up for me, so I can't see on my Google Doc.
Sorry. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Want me to read it?
Yeah, I can't see it.
Okay, this one comes from Jody Bice. She says, I'm just upset that we aren't going to see any new episodes until January 5th.
Yes.
There's no Pilgrim Rick, and most importantly, Mary...
No inflatables!
No inflatables.
You know what? Can I just say something? For anyone out there who loves holidays as much as myself and Miguel, here's what I have decided. Blake doesn't even know this, but I came up with this amazing idea just today.
Whoa, time out. What?
Hold up.
You can't be throwing this stuff at me.
Listen, we need to make the most amazing thanks, Miss Eve, New Year, Valentine, birthday, okay? It's literally just going to be when we get the vaccine and we can finally get together. I don't care if it's the 4th of friggin' July. I'm putting up the tree. We're cooking a turkey. We're going to get cupcakes and birthday cakes, and we're going to have fireworks, and we're going to say I love you, and it's going to be amazing.
And we're going to drink Guinness.
No joke.
Yeah.
I want it all. I want all of the holidays and birthdays that we've missed all in one. We'll put out the Halloween inflatables. We'll take out the Christmas deer. We're going to do it. We're Flag Day. Everything.
Please, I mean, wear red, white, and blue.
Yep. National Hot Dog Day. I mean, bring it on. We are going to celebrate it all in like one jam-packed weekend, possibly one day. And I think that Miguel would totally be on with this.
Miguel would be not only a member, but the president of this club.
Right? What would it even be called?
I don't even know. We'll call it Miguel Day.
Because we did kind of have Halloween, but not everybody did. So you'd have to like wear costumes, eat turkey, open presents and have your tree. Celebrate everybody's birthday. Like, you just have to sing happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear
St. Patrick.
No, like everybody, like Blake and Mary and this person, like everyone through your family, happy birthday to you. And everyone just eats cake and turkey and candy canes. So, Miguel, there is hope.
And candy canes. Oh, Mary, that was something. Okay.
That's okay that we can do that?
We'll see. The last one comes from Angela Hickey. She says, I haven't come up with my review, but I'm giving myself a pat on the back for calling the mark thing during the podcast. I had a funny feeling we were not finished with that storyline. On another note, this episode was a bit on the sleepy side. I have to give my lemonades some thought. But that's okay. She called the mark thing. And you know what? There you go, girl.
Snaps.
I'll give it to you. You know, here we go. Bam!
Just like that. This Is Us does not introduce us to characters that aren't important at some point.
Yes.
Candace. What's her name?
Cassidy.
Yeah. Let's see what she's worthy
Hashtag
of.
Hashtag who are they? Can we also, let's just talk about this real quick, Marvin. I have to give Rebecca all the props in the world. I think I'm going to make this into a t-shirt. Who made them experts anyway? Their kids are train wrecks. when she's talking about Miguel's kids. Miguel's kids. Their kids are train wrecks.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Miguel and Shelley. She's like, yeah, what are you? Who cares, Jack? Stop telling me about Miguel. I don't care.
It's things that Miguel doesn't know Rebecca said about him.
Oh, that's a good point.
Add that to a list.
That is a good point. Good point.
Okay. Can I just talk about something that has been bothering me?
Yeah.
Okay. For a show that has someone who has battled alcoholism.
Yep.
We need to have a moment to talk about Beth.
Oh, because okay. Yes.
Not in this episode, but in previous episodes, because she didn't drink in this episode.
She had the she had the glass of wine in her hands. She gave it to Randall.
Never mind.
And she had the angry pour. Last episode. Yeah.
And she honestly had an angry pour this one.
Yes.
It was like a giddy angry pour. Beth, in every episode, is drinking.
She's been boozing.
And, you know, like, there was a time she even, like, went into the closet and had some wine.
Yep.
Now, I am not to say that a girlfriend cannot have some healthy doses of alcohol. You know what I mean?
You do you, girl.
You do you. Like, many a people have drinks every single day. I was one of said people up until August, okay? Mm-hmm. COVID hit me hard, guys. I'm not going to lie.
Having a few drinks.
Every day. and then I was like, my recycling bin is as full as my neighbor's, but she and her husband both drink every day. And I'm the only one doing it here. So I cut it out. But I don't know if that's what also made me notice this, that I just became like, you know, it's mommy's sippy cup and it's 9 o'clock and the whole like mommy boozy culture. But it made me aware of it. And I've been noticed. I even noticed it last season with Beth.
Yep.
And I don't know why the writers have chosen this, that Beth has booze in her hand so frequently, especially because we have this storyline of Kevin. So I don't know if it's just like a realistic, like this is a mom of teens and this is just a mom of 2020, like this is the way that it is, or if it's something that we need to keep our eyes on a little bit.
Yep, yep.
Just need to put it out there.
I think it's worth talking about.
I don't know. We'll find out in 2021.
So what did you think? If
just needed to put it out there.
What did you think about the episode? Angela said in the Big Three feedback that it was a little sleepy. And my contention would probably be to agree with her on this one. It feels like setting things up.
Agreed.
Yeah.
This is not a game-changing episode.
Out of all the things that they are setting up, some dangling threads, what interests you most?
Kevin winning an Oscar?
Yes, and by the way, for those eagle-eyed viewers, when we see the house that he's in later in the future, he does have Oscars.
Yes.
He does.
So this is the beginning. This is planting the seeds for him to have an Oscar.
Right.
And to take his mom, hopefully. I'm interested in that. I personally am wary of the Kate possible abortion or pregnancy loss storyline, because obviously she doesn't have a child, or maybe even adoption. But I feel like had Kate had a baby that she had adopted, this would have been addressed by the family at some point.
Yep.
So to me, Kate either loses this baby or has an abortion. So this is something that I am interested in, but I'm dreading it. It's not going to be easy. You know what I mean? Just like these race conversations between the siblings is not easy. And I really am thankful for Kate bringing that up with Kevin. That is something that I'm excited about. As a 38-year-old white woman raised in a heterosexual white family, middle class, I feel very much in line with a lot of the things that the Pearsons go through, but I don't have a sibling who is a different race than I, who's a different colored skin, who's gone through these things. And I have friends, but to know that these people went through their entire lives, and like Kevin said, you know, we were always vying for mom and dad's attention, but they always wanted Randall. Kevin still doesn't get it yet. The the differences and difficulties that Randall has gone through. And neither does Kate fully get it, but Kate's willing to admit that.
Yes.
And I'm really, really interested to see how the show delves into this, especially with everything that's gone on this year. So that is something that I'm really, really looking forward to.
It's an interesting thing that happens within that scene that we played at the beginning of our podcast episode, which is Kevin, before what we played, admits that he wants to win an Oscar for his mother so she can remember it, and he just needs to give it a performance that isn't tired. And that was the chief insult that Randall had for mm-hmm. Kevin in their big blowout. You know, everything that you do is tired. Every performance you've ever done is just tired. And I think Kevin says that just unwittingly. You know, what it comes down to is that Kevin does have some daddy issues, and the fact remains that his daddy issues have kind of transferred into – he's always looking for approval.
Yes.
And perhaps his approval need has transferred to Randall. Do you think that is fair to say, or do you think that is that something that is just subconsciously weighing on him? Is that something
that's a really good question? I don't know. I feel like the big three have been closer up until this point, you know, that mm-hmm. they would be in contact more. And Kevin lived close to Kate and they would see each other a lot. And now now with the pandemic, Kevin's not able to see these people that much, you know? So he doesn't get just that feedback, and whether it's praise or just some kind of a feedback. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
And it just goes to show you how off Kevin is in his thinking. I don't think he means it to be this way, but the way that it is portrayed in the show is our parents were always on Randall. They totally gave all their bit of attention to him, yet it was this episode where the show is telling us that it was Kevin who a lot of their time has been spent with, and a lot of their efforts, especially as a baby and then as a kid, a lot of the efforts went into Kevin. And yes, things had been missed, but I just find it ironic that an episode like this is so Kevin-centric, yet he is telling us, hey, your parents were always on top of Randall. And yeah, he went to this fancy school, whatever, but, you know, he was fine. Trust me, Kate. And I find it ironic that it's in this episode that this happens.
Yeah, and I do enjoy Kevin's constant evolution as a character. I think that he is the most selfish from the beginning of the series.
Sure.
And obviously he deals with his own demons. You know, he deals with his lack of stability in relationships. And I like that his character continues to evolve. Even though he's getting many of the things that he wants right now in regards to he's getting a family and he has a fiance, things that Kevin has been longing for this entire time that we've gotten to know mm-hmm. him, what we're really realizing is that a lot of this is some kind of like jealousy or just always comparing himself to Randall. It's that he feel that like inadequacy that maybe if his dad was still alive, he would say, Kevin, man, you've always been loved. You've always been special.
Right, right, right.
You know, you don't need someone to tell you this every day. You don't need to win awards.
You don't need the attaboy.
Yeah. But, you know, I've often related how I feel frequently in my life like Kevin because I have my adults, my older sister who is severely handicapped. I have my brother who, God bless him, did every stupid thing under the sun. somehow caught a squirrel with his bare hands and it bit him, ate all the poisonous mushrooms. Like literally my baby brother was just like constant need of attention. So my parents honestly couldn't spend time with me.
Sure.
They couldn't watch me. You know, it's something that I realized as I progressed in life and I decided to go into the performance category just like Kevin, because I didn't feel seen.
Right.
And I do think I see that in him. And I too don't necessarily remember much of my childhood, my parents paying attention to me.
Right.
But now as a parent, I know they did.
Right.
Absolutely. I know they did. And that's why I turned out the way that I did. And it's why that Kevin turned out the way that he did. All of his success in life is because his parents made those investments in him and is because they gave him that love.
And Jack and Rebecca, especially.
Not all of his success. I know some of it's his. But
Jack is the person who gave him his work ethic.
Yes.
And that, you know, that comes from that. Mm-hmm. You know, this episode proves that.
Yes.
And the way that Jack went about it may not have been the best. I mean, he's sitting there calling his son soft to Rebecca while Kevin is upstairs listening to the conversation.
Not great, Bob.
I would agree.
Not great, Bob.
But it wasn't intentional, obviously. It wasn't like, you're soft, Kevin. It's just a conversation between parents. I know that we have said things about our children that we probably wouldn't say in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't blame Jack for it, but what you can
do... The fact that our daughter is actually a Slytherin...
Yes.
I'm a Gryffindor. No, you're not.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Maybe I'm a Hufflepuff. That will be the last thing you are.
Yeah, right. but there is a kernel of truth to the fact that the way that Jack handles things in his life, the way that, you just push through it, be a man, understand where you are, take it. That gives these kids certain neuroses, you know, especially Kevin and Randall. Another thing that comes up between Kevin and Randall is the fact that Randall says to Kevin, as their children, being me at my school, I have to be the best.
And it zoop goes right over Kevin's head.
Right over him. Just, that's it.
And what Kevin needed to hear, because Kevin was so thick at this time and couldn't understand, was being the only black kid at my school.
Right.
Means that I need to be the best.
And this is another subtle thing that this was, I really liked this inclusion a lot because this is another subtle way that they're getting this dichotomy into the show where it's not overtly like in your face, but it's there. And if you're engaged, you see it.
I want to give major props to this actor too, the actor of teenage and, you know, child, eighth grader,
okay,
you know, Randall, because he has to be addressing these racial issues in a subtle way.
Yes.
You know, with the knowledge of the present time frame that we're in. You know what I mean? I just think that he's doing an extraordinary job. And I think that it's a lot to ask of a child actor. And he is handling it incredibly, incredibly well.
Yep.
Can we spend a little time on Kate?
Oh, future Kate or young Kate?
Future.
Okay, future Kate. What
ultrasound
you got?
Time. They named the baby Chloe. And of course, she's, you know, doing the FaceTime so that Toby can see the baby. And of course, it's like, look at, there's little baby Chloe. And baby mama freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably. Like, even if she didn't have an issue with the name Chloe. Really?
I don't know. I feel like that was... I'm kind of out on this girl, Ellie. I'm out on her.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But just... I just feel like that was just overly sensitive. And I get hormones are raging, pregnant.
I was just going to say, do you really?
I get it. I get it. Totally get it. But I don't know.
You know, I was asked if I would be a surrogate. And
when was this?
Oh, from our man of honor.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't, you and I had to talk about this.
Yes.
And I actually had other friends ask if I could donate eggs for them because they were having difficulty with their own. And you were actually the one that was like, Mary, I don't think you're going to be able to handle, you know, seeing, because these people will be involved in your life. I don't think you'll be able to handle like seeing these children who have your have characteristics of you and they're not yours. And you just have to like hand the baby over. Yeah. And it just made this light bulb where I was like, you're right. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could raise a child in my womb for 9 months. And I know that some people have. And I know a few friends who've actually like offered it and have done it for other friends. And I think that that was one of the most amazingly selfless things that you can do.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like,
just,
God bless you for those of you who can do it.
But as I saw this scene, it brought me back to having to tell my friend, I don't think I could do this, and how I would have felt. And I wasn't even pregnant. So to see the baby mama and have that response, that's why I'm saying, like, yes, the name Chloe bothered her, but part of me thinks, like, any name would have bothered her.
Probably. I still feel like it's a little much, but you know what? Hey, it is what it is. How do you feel about the whole Kate pregnancy thing? Teenage Kate pregnancy thing. Is it earned? Is it not earned? Is it something that you feel like they just took a dart and they went, whoosh? I mean, I know they replayed that whole scene from last season where you know, they go up to visit Kevin and whatever. And I think that was excellent. I love how they recontextualized that scene with Kate saying, no, I'm not going. I'll be fine. Do you think that was planned? Do you think that was a dart?
I feel like as long as Mark's been in the picture, we knew that something very traumatic was going to be happening to Kate.
Yes.
So I feel like we knew the Mark storyline wasn't going to be ending, that there still was some unanswered stuff. And I'm very interested and I'm impressed for them to be going down this route. I would prefer teenage Kate over Randall's daughters right now. Sure. I think with Malik having a daughter, you know, we already are into the idea of teenage pregnancy and raising a baby. So I do think that it is an issue that, once again, a lot of people see themselves have in their lives.
Right.
And that's something that This Is Us, I'm proud of, that they address a lot of these things that we deal with in real life. And teenage pregnancy is one of them.
Yep.
The idea of going through abortion with unwanted pregnancies is something that is talked about amongst people, or that some people have had to make a choice about either way. So it's not an easy thing. And I really am interested to see how Kate has this conversation with Toby, where she says, I haven't told anyone about this.
Yeah.
I haven't even told my siblings.
Yeah.
And for her to feel the need to come out with this, you know, because she's driving with the clip we paid with Kevin, and she's saying, you know, a lot of us have things to deal with. That's, of course, what she's referring to. She's referring to this very challenging experience that she went through that we still don't fully know yet, but we can allude to. So I don't know. I'm interested in it. I haven't loved a lot of Kate's stories any age.
Yep, I agree.
But I really, really love this actress, the actress playing younger Kate. And I do.
Teenage Kate.
Yeah, teenage Kate. Yeah. And I do think that this is going to be, you know, a storyline that gives a bit more, even more depth to Kate. I think that even though she's had her own struggles with weight and with infertility, obviously with the guilt and loss of her dad, I don't know, it's just another complicated layer, because we do often see her as just this optimistic person right now, mm-hmm. who's kind of flat, you know, like living the mom life. So I don't know.
There's more to her than what we've known, obviously. Yes. And I like it because we know, because we're looking at this from God's point of view, like from the top, the
from
macro,
the future,
yeah, from the macro level here, we know that teenage Kate pulls away from Rebecca and in a big way, and transforms herself, and then ultimately starts really having weight issues. We've always wondered, okay, what was the thing? Why did she do this? And obviously, this is it. I wonder, you know, because it does feel like, and guess what? It's like, it feels like they spun the wheel and they said, okay, spin the wheel for Kate, pregnant, you know, like, but I, as much as I say that, like in the writer's room, they spun the wheel.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't think that they did.
As much as I say that as a joke, I don't think that they did that. And part of me thinks that this has been in the works.
Agreed.
For a while.
Agreed.
Specifically because they took that scene and they recontextualized it. I remember that happening at the time, being like, okay, why is Kate not going? Mm-hmm. You know, and I, and like it, we kind of just brushed it off. Like it was just something.
This has been the plan.
I think this has been the plan.
And I applaud them for trying yet another very difficult topic. Because honestly, like this is teenage pregnancy is something that happens a lot.
Right.
A lot. And it's not something that you really see on TV, or of someone being able to be successful. You know, so seeing Malik saying, like, that's the other thing is we got to have Malik talking about, I'm a young teenage dad and I have to do all these things for my baby. So I thought it was interesting to mirror teenage Kate and then Malik going through all of his stuff. By the way, I know you were saying that you think that Randall would have gone off on Malik.
I don't think he would have gone off. I think he would have just said, well, you got responsibilities. Buck up.
I don't think so, because I feel like, you know, this is his daughter's boyfriend. And I don't think he would have necessarily handled it that way with his daughters. And Malik means a lot. This isn't just an intern. This isn't just someone coming to visit. This is, you know, somewhat of a family member. He's in their COVID bubble. So, and Randall really likes Malik.
Yeah, but like in all things in good writing, I feel like you can make an argument either way. I don't think one way is right or one way is wrong. The way that I interpret him handling it is, okay, you got a daughter. Yes, you do. You have to do what it takes for her.
I feel like if you say I have a daughter, it makes Randall a softie. I mean, we saw how he reacted to his therapist.
That's true.
Oh, he's got a daughter. Like, I think that that's the magic button with Randall. You know, he's got three daughters. Like, okay, I get it, man. Randall's messed up a lot too.
Yeah, he is. I don't know.
And let's be real. His pants stayed on. I think if his pants came off in the video, it would have been a very different reaction.
Yeah. One last thing I want to call out is this great shot. I love when directors do this, when they take a shot, and in this particular case, Jack, at the sink drinking water.
Yes.
And it's beard Jack, and then all of a sudden it switches like that to mustache Jack. And then it goes back to Beard Jack as he's walking up the stairs and Kevin's crying and he goes to open the door. You could see it in him. He's like, oh man, all right, fine. Like, okay,
I'll do it.
I'll do it. And then the kid stops and it's just like,
oh. I can't believe though you didn't want to talk about Randall's birth mom. We haven't talked about that yet. The viral video going on and then...
Well, I've already claimed my victory on that. I didn't want to rub it in anymore. I got my attaboy.
Okay.
I will say it's interesting.
It's perfectly in time with what things happen.
Agreed. And I'll say this. Kate being pregnant is far more organic than the mother being shoehorned into the season.
Yes.
I'll say that. I will say that. But the way that potentially the mother or the guy, the Vietnamese guy, learns of this is definitely real. Him and Randall, you know, flipping through all the memes and all the GIFs of him.
Love it.
All very real. Totally would have happened. Loved every second of that. But yeah, I don't know.
It's okay.
It's okay. So are you ready to do some in or out, Mom?
I am.
Before we do the in or out, what is it brought to you by?
I don't know because it's not showing in my Google Doc. It's brought to you by Minute with Mary. Minute with Mary, of course, is your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare. And in this month, the month of November, I'm running for a promotion. And this is a really big deal. So if you've ever wanted to try out some mascara or a new lip product, or maybe you're on the market for some absolutely positively dynamite eye cream, if 2020 has left you haggard, guys, I got you. I got you. And I'm saying guys, and I mean folks, no matter what, we can all use a little eye cream because you want to know who else is using my eye cream? That's right. Mr. Blake. He started using it.
Shame.
You're not supposed to say that, Mary.
Why not?
Because.
You're going to be leaving 2020 looking like Benjamin Button at this point, okay? So head on over to Minute with Mary or search the hashtag Minute with Mary if you have any questions.
What's it going to be, McFly? Are you in?
All right, what has slowly or quickly become my favorite segment, I think, in all of our podcast episodes, it is now time for In or Out.
Okay.
Marvin, In or Out on Dancing with Your Shirt Off.
I've never done that, and I especially wouldn't do it now because I have a boo-boo on my belly.
The poor thing.
Oh, it still
hurts.
She's
got a mole removed.
And they like cauterized it, and it's just hurts.
In or Out, owning a restaurant like Malik.
Out. Out, 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 out.
Way, way out.
Ew, I hate...
It depends on the restaurant. If you're like, you're just serving bagels, okay, cool. You're doing donuts, okay, cool. But like, full service restaurant?
Nope.
Way out.
Too much to manage.
No, way too many things.
No, thank you.
No, don't want any part of that. You got to have all the different... The serve safe alone is just...
It's too much for me to handle.
Through the roof.
Too much.
Never mind the accounting. Never mind the staffing. Never mind the purchasing. Just the serve safe sucks.
I will stick to podcasting in my basement.
All day, baby. Interrupt. Letting your kids play football.
I'm not going to.
Really?
Yep.
See, I'm kind of in. If my kid wants to play football, I'm not going to tell him no.
Okay.
If he wants to quit, I'll do the Jack and be like, no, you're not quitting.
Yeah, I'm all set. I'm going to do the Rebecca.
It's okay, honey. You come here. Mommy will take care of. Listen to your mumsy.
All right, in or out on crying it out.
As with anything, it's the parents' choice.
But you, what is, are you in or out?
Out.
I'm in.
I know you are.
Crying it out was, it was hard, but it was the best thing that we could do for us.
But also, I went away. Like, for crying out to actually happen, I had to leave the house and stay out of the house for many nights.
That's true.
So part of me doesn't know. Like, could, is it just because they couldn't smell me? Who knows? We'll never know.
Maybe. Maybe. But for our kids, crying it out was right. Because they all they did, and kind of to this day, they still just, they just want mama. And you got to break that.
Like, they do still want me.
It's hard, man. It's wicked hard. I know it's hard.
They're mammals. That's what mammal babies do.
We ain't nothing but mammals. In or out on flashcards?
Totes in.
Oh, so out.
And colored. Ew. Why so are you out. So abrasively loud? Oh, it's just so flashcards.
I'm out on flashcards.
Obviously, I got a better SAT score. Move on. You thought I was done.
I think this might be the longest running joke in Mary and Blake media. The fact that Mary got better SATs than me. That may have appeared in like our first episode of podcasting we've ever done. From our old parenting podcast. Yes, Mary, you did better in the SATs. Yes, Mary, you're smarter than me. Yes, Mary, you're better at school than me. Sure. Okay?
Maybe it's all because of the flashcards I used.
Atta girl, okay?
Just saying.
There you go. I toot my horn today. You can toot your own horn today.
Yeah, thanks.
In or out on ultrasound pictures?
In.
I'm out.
My God. No, you're not. You oogled and
no,
ogled.
No,
and,
no, no, no.
Oh, look at that little foot. And look at the hand. No,
I'm out. Because you can't see nothing. It's all a blob.
No. Our ultrasounds were not blobs.
For the most part.
Oh, my gosh.
They were blobs.
You were just
You know what I'm really out on? Those four,
you are so negative right now.
Those 4D ones, the 4D ultrasounds.
What's 4D?
Or whatever
you mean
it is.
3D?
The 3D, sure. Whatever.
What would 4D even mean? That it could touch you?
It pops out.
Oh, gross. It's like alien.
Hi, Mom. No, yeah, I'm out on the. Because it's like weird how like their face is all scrunched up. And, you know, like, oh, man. Nope. I'm out. I'm out on the 3D ones.
I'm in.
All right, that is it. That is it for the in or out. You ready for some hot takes?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right. Mary, do you have a hot take?
I do.
Okay, what's your hot take?
That Beth's drinking is going to lead to something.
Good job. Okay, I'll give you that one. Okay. I can do that.
Thanks.
I'm in on that.
Thank you.
For me, my hot take is something.
It might even just be that Deja or Tess starts drinking.
Oh, that is a hot, that's a flaming hot take.
Because she has it and she like has open bottles and stuff. You're welcome.
Mary, that is a nuclear take.
You're welcome.
That is great. That might be your most hot take you've ever had.
Oh, really?
In this show? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thanks.
That is scorching.
Okay.
All right. For me, I get the sense that something is going to happen with Malik.
What do you even mean? That something, poor little...
Something bad. Something bad. Deja and Randall are having this great thing. Randall is talking about his daughter. I'm sorry. Malik is talking about his daughter, how he's got big dreams. He's going to work hard. And he's got the internship.
Does anybody have a happily ever after on this show?
yes. Yes, I think so. But something just feels...
I would hate to watch a show you wrote.
It would be pretty sour and
it
dour.
Would. It really would.
Everybody would die. It'd be depressed.
Whereas Damon Lindelof, what did he call me? Like a happy little elf?
A happy little elf. That is true, ladies and gents. Damon Lindelof, the creator of Lost and showrunner of The Leftovers and the latest iteration of Watchmen. We spoke with him a number of times for our Leftovers podcast. And directly to Mary's face said, "You are a happy little elf."
Because I was like, maybe everyone who disappeared in The Leftovers is okay. Oh, Mary.
He's like, yeah, Mary, you happy little elf. So I just feel like something bad is going to happen to Malik.
Okay.
One form or another, like he's gonna go and he's gonna get himself involved in some protests.
God. Maybe it's gonna be like a walk to remember, but instead of Mandy Moore dying from cancer, it's Malik. Always remember.
Oh my goodness.
It was late afternoon.
No, I'm gonna,
you don't think Malik's gonna like have this tragic love story and then die?
Well, I mean, maybe. Yeah, I thought
you know. You're seeing something sad.
I thought you meant literally, like he would die from cancer, just like how Mandy Moore would die. Yeah. Hashtag spoiler alert and walk to remember.
Whatever. The movie's like 20 years old.
All right, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so incredibly much for tuning in. Don't forget, This Is Us is not coming back until January. Why, you may ask? 2020. Have you seen the Rockefeller tree? If you haven't...
Oh, not great, Bob.
You know what you won't want to watch on NBC? The lighting of that sucker.
Thing's going to go up in flames.
Seriously, Christmas time is here. Go to Trader Joe's and get yourself a Grinch tree and just light that sucker up. It looks better. Listen, I know. We love This Is Us, and we need to just be thankful that we've been able to have this few episodes. If you've enjoyed it, no joke, if you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, tweet the people who made this show possible. Find all those people's names and those fast-scrolling credits and be like, you did a dang good job, and I cannot wait to see what you do in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, for those of you who are out there watching us live right now, and for those of you in the podcast verse, if you're listening to this in the app, please do give us a written review and some stars. We would love the fives, but if you give us a four or three, we understand. We want to know the real truth behind what you feel like. Not five stars.
Johnny. 4 stars is so... passe.
Alexis. I think my Moira is better than your Moira.
It is.
Please do go ahead and do that. And remember that we're doing the After Dark Show. So when you watch us live, you can join us for the After Dark Show. And I guess that's it.
That's it. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is us too.